closed captioned for the reality impaired. It's the Jerry Bader Show.
840 1360 975 WTAQ News Talk Sports. So I went online, and it's a lot cooler in Green Bay than it is in Dallas, Texas right now. Going to be a high of 95, 50% chance of rain here. Going to try to get out a little bit in the afternoon. Jerry Bader from Dallas for the Americans for Prosperity, defending the American Dream Summit. First one of these I've done, I think 2008. If D.C. was 2008, then that's the last one that I did. And as long as it is Americans for Prosperity's defending the Dream Summit, we might as well start with someone from Americans for Prosperity. And that would be Jennifer Stefano. You might see her, frequent contributor on Fox News, also on MSNBC. And Jennifer, good morning. I don't know if you know this. Good morning. If you YouTube yourself, the first, you know what the first thing that pops up is?
Me and my best friend, Chris Hayes.
It is. See, that would explain why you had a hoarse voice, because that was months ago, and it's probably still from filleting him. But it is must-see viewing if you haven't. But that's actually where I want to start, because that debate with Chris Hayes on MSNBC, where you ate him alive, was over Obamacare.
Absolutely.
We all believed this was going to be the issue in 2014 and in 2016. You could really make the case, though, things have changed. If you look at the front page of USA Today, Ukraine lied to us. Public sentiment shifting. They want us to be the world's cop again when it comes to these hotspots. What's your assessment of that foreign policy versus domestic policy, which AFP, of course, focuses on? And you know, what's your take on where we are right now?
Right. Well, I really believe that this is really a leftist progressive playbook, the idea of create chaos everywhere, distract from the main issues. So for the first time in decades, there was recently a poll out showing that going into the November elections, voters don't have one defining issue because there are so many that are upsetting, whether it's ISIS or the border crisis or the economy. But here's what I do believe, that at the end of the day, when Americans are assessing things, you have to take care of business at home. And I say that as a working mother, as someone who works for Americans for Prosperity, but who started as a stay-at-home mom and an activist. You've got to take care of things at home. And I think overriding Obamacare, and not just that the policy is hurting us and our families, but that we were lied to. We were lied to. He promised we could keep our health care. He promised the things that are happening would.
Yeah. All right, we're not going to keep you too long because she's really struggling with her voice. In fact, I'll tell you what, I'll ask you one more question, but you see that knob way to the far left there that matches the color of your mic? Turn that up a little bit because you are struggling, but I'm not going to keep you long because I know. Well, we have been lied to, as you said, and we continue to be lied to. And I know that's uncynical to some, but I agree. I think this is planned chaos to divert from the issues here at home, particularly the economy. So that, you know, then what is the message that you think needs to be articulated on that front? You know, I haven't talked about Obamacare on my talk show in weeks.
Correct.
I haven't. Yeah, you know, so how do we can't ignore everything that's going on in the world. So how do we walk and chew gum at the same time?
Well, I think one of the things you have to do is really hone in on where people are at in their lives. They may be very concerned about terrorism. We all may be very concerned about the border situation. But at the end of the day, what impacts us? What impacts our family? You talk about kitchen table economics. You know, when I was in Wisconsin in June of 2012 during the Scott Walker recall, I think the thing that resonated when I was knocking on the door of independents or Democrats, the reason they understood and understood what Scott Walker did was because we talked about the policy, how it impacted their lives. At the end of the day, stick to what is hitting home first, and that's how you change.
And I'll let you go after this question, but I'm glad you brought that up, because I will tell you, as a talk show host in Wisconsin, the big concern right now is complacency. In fact, a website that I write for, Right Wisconsin, has my opinion and others on this today. There is complacency. Scott Walker won two governor's elections in less than 2 years. There is this feeling in Wisconsin that, he always wins and we don't have to be energized. I'm going to tell you, the other side is much more energized right now. People outside looking in can't believe this. He's in real trouble.
Correct, yeah. And so I think, you know, the idea of complacency. So what this is why in Americans for Prosperity, we are committed to going door to door. This is literally a door to door, and I hate to say combat, but it is.
Yep.
You've got to go knock people and shake them out of the complacency. You've got to get to the streets. It's not enough to assume you're going to win. And Vince Lombardi said this. Look, I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. I'm a Philly girl. But I have always loved and admired Vince Lombardi because of his philosophical take on winning. And he said, it is not the team that wants to win that wins. It's the team that wants to win and is willing to work it that wins. So we've got to work. It is our God-given right to freedom, but that doesn't mean that we get to keep it simply because we're born with it. We do have to fight for the right. And we're blessed. We can fight in freedom. It's a door-to-door.
All right, now put some lemon and honey in that tea.
I love that.
And you're going to be
I'm
also.
Sorry. It's
no,
so
no, don't apologize. It's your passion could not be stopped by your vocal cords.
It's yelling at liberals on MSNBC and having to shout them down when they try to talk over me. It's a war on women.
It is. How come nobody ever points out their misogyny?
Oh, well, you know what? It's outrageous, and I love to point it out. They are so disrespectful, dismissive towards women on the right. I mean, Lynn Cheney talks about this, that she was a PhD, and in the 60s, she really appreciated that there was an idea of a woman's movement to help her, but they rejected her because she was pro-life. They're hypocritical. They don't care about women. They care about themselves. So.
Okay, she can't stop herself, so I'm going to stop right back. But we appreciate it. We do. Thank you so much. I do appreciate you stopping by. I really do.
I love Wisconsin. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you. Just put his little foot back up there, and he'll be fine. There with the microphone. All right. Appreciate it. That's Jennifer Stefano from AFP, Americans for Prosperity. They are the hosts, of course, of this event here in Dallas, Texas. We're at the Omni Hotel in downtown Dallas, and be talking a little more about that. My first trip to the Big D, and already some initial observations, which I'll be sharing later in the show. We also have a number of guests coming up yet in the show. Senior political editor from townhall.com and another Fox News contributor, Guy Benson, will be joining us at 9:20. He had a very provocative piece, in fact, at townhall.com the other day that we'll talk to him about. And in general, David Flatibo of AFP Wisconsin will join me at 9:50. Also, at 10:35, now, this is a name some will recognize, particularly, the conservative base faithful will know Tennessee Congressman Marsha Blackburn, and she prefers to be called Congressman Blackburn. She's going to join us at 10:35. She is one of those conservatives that the left loves to hate. I know they love to hate all of us. I do understand that. But she really is one that they love to hate. And that's going to be a very good interview. And whatever else happens between now and then, there may be some others wandering in here on Radio Row at Americans for Prosperity. To build, though, and a lot of stuff, I do want to try to get in some stuff during the show not directly related to this, including some stuff that I didn't get to on the show yesterday, and I'm probably going to pepper this in here and there. There is a piece from Rand Paul in yesterday's Wall Street Journal, I believe it was. My day, whenever I travel like this, I just get all out of whack, where he still sounds pretty isolationist in the wake of, quite frankly, all hell breaking loose around the world. And that really is what is happening. And as Jennifer was just saying, I mean, the domestic issues, the economy, the general socioeconomic philosophy of the left and how far to the left it's gone in the past. All of that is critical, to be sure. But nothing matters if you don't have national security first. And this is an interesting moment right now as we head to the fall 2014 elections and even 2016. Republicans, I think, need to realize, not just because it's politically expedient, because it's the right thing to do, national security has always been issue number one to me. Always has been, always will be, because if you're not secure as a nation, none of the other issues matter. That's why we were on the cutting edge of the immigration debate in 2006 and 2007. And look at what Rick Perry gets mocked when he points out that a porous southern border is an open invitation to ISIS, ISIL, or anyone else who would do us harm. And he gets mocked. He gets laughed at. You have a situation now where I turn on Good Morning America this morning in my hotel room, and what is the talking point? President Obama being criticized. Well, you don't see that every day. What is he being criticized for? Wearing a tan suit coat at an appearance yesterday. Now, I'll stop the hypocrisy charge before it starts. Yes, I criticized him for not wearing a tie when discussing the beheading of James Foley. Yeah, I think it was undignified. At least he was wearing a suit and tie this time. But that's why I didn't want to spend a lot of time on that. Do you have any idea of how precarious the global situation is right now? People who listen to shows such as this one probably do. And I'm not saying that what AFP is doing here isn't important. We do, but remember, 2014 November was going to be about Obamacare. When is the last time you heard anyone on the radio, from a local regional show such as mine, all the way up to the national shows, spend a lot of time on Obamacare? The national shows remind you of it once in a while, but it has been shoved so far to the back burner. And actually, I agree with Jennifer. I think at least to some extent, it's planned chaos. That there are, take the eyes off the other failures. But clearly, the Obama administration never intended that it was going to be, the president never intended that it was going to be as disastrous a foreign policy as it is. And then there's the other question. Does he even know that? Rush Limbaugh's been on this thing where the president isn't really disengaged, that he's mailing it in the way a lot of people think that he is, that it's really all part of this master plan to think he doesn't care anymore so he can keep implementing the domestic policy. I have another theory on that, and it is this. What he doesn't care about, that he really doesn't care about foreign policy, but in this context, with every ideological fiber within him, he does not believe the United States should be the global leader on world affairs. This was so obvious from even in the campaign. Remember, he was going to restore our credibility among the globe. You know what he meant by that? Well, we're not going to go sticking our nose in everywhere. And now you have a situation where some on the right, Rand Paul and others, are actually meeting him at that extreme. At what point does the world, do we literally have to descend into World War III? And by the way, World War III is not what we thought. If you're a baby boomer age, World War III isn't going to be something that's over in 20 minutes and that we're going to be a glowing pile of rubble. That is not the most likely scenario for World War III. The more likely scenario is regional conflict is patched together into a world war. The problem is the sides are not going to be anywhere nearly as defined as they were 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago. It's not the USSR versus the USA. It's not Hitler and Tojo versus the USA. It is much murkier an opponent, much more difficult to combat. And it's not even just ISIS. Front page of USA Today, Ukraine out and out lied, you know, Russia out and out lied to us. It is, pick, you know, although it is now taking a pause, but the Middle East, Gaza, Israel, Ukraine, and China. China buzzed one of our, we haven't talked about that. China did a Top Gun moment on one of our fighter jets. They're challenging us. The United States' ability or will to lead is being challenged all over the globe. And nobody believes that the current administration is up to that challenge. How else can this possibly end? Other than a lot of these simmering, and some that even aren't simmering, conflicts going white, white, hot. It's the only possible way that it can end. And that it's, to me, that's as important as anything right now. And there's a poll out that shows Americans are actually noticing that. We'll get to more of that later in the show and guests from Dallas. It's 8:56.